The U.S. drone strikes are illegal and are a violation of human rights. This time, the condemnation is coming from the UN Human Rights Body, and Pakistan has been urged to take up legal action on the issue as ties between Islamabad and Washington are at an all-time low. Had Pakistan not provided its soil to the U.S.-led NATO forces to invade Afghanistan, maybe history would have taken a different course. But the once ally in the so-called war on terror is now choking out NATO supply lines and is lashing out at the drone strikes, which have left so many, far too many civilians dead. As the U.S. plans to stay in the region for at least another decade, will Pakistan's sovereignty continue to be neglected? I'm Bardi Honardar, and in tonight's news analysis, I'll try to look into why civilians have to pay when the U.S. is in play.
Washington's recent air raids and drone attacks on Pakistan and Afghanistan have claimed the lives of at least 40 civilians over the past days. The large number of fatalities has prompted the UN Rights Commissioner to consider the indiscriminate killings as human rights violations. Navy Pillay has also condemned Washington's drone strikes on Pakistan's tribal belt and called for an investigation into the attacks.
Drone attacks do raise serious questions about compliance with international law, in particular the principle of distinction and proportionality.
Pillay's comments come a day after the U.S. Defense Secretary described the drone strikes as self-defense and said they will continue.
We have made clear to the Pakistanis that the United States of America is going to defend ourselves against those that would attack us. And we have done just that. We have gone after their leadership, and we have done it effectively, targeting Al-Qaeda leadership and terrorists.
Similarly, the U.S. Secretary of State said our country will always maintain the right to use lethal force to achieve its goals. Hillary Clinton's words reflected that of Obama's counterterrorism advisor. Over a month ago, John Brennan described the U.S. unmanned strikes as legal, ethical, and proportional. He made it clear that the attacks will continue, saying they're necessary to win the war against militants.
So far, there have been more than 326 drone strikes in Pakistan, having killed more than 3,000 people. And out of these 3,000 people, the high-value targets, the whole justification on which U.S. relies is only 38. And name of known militants who have been killed, and this is just the names given by CIA or American officials, but their culpability is not beyond reasonable doubt yet. But let's believe that what U.S. is, or CIA is saying is right. That number is only 186.
But the civilian deaths have become a nightmare for ordinary Afghans and Pakistanis, who've held numerous mass protests to condemn the attacks and demand the immediate withdrawal of foreign troops from Afghanistan. The high number of civilian fatalities has also drawn the verbal criticism of Afghan and Pakistani officials. But they failed to take any practical actions to stop the U.S. attacks and raids. With the U.S. giving the go-ahead for such operations during combat, it's quite certain that more civilians will fall victim unless those responsible for such war crimes are forced to stand trial.
Well, for expert analysis on that topic, I'm joined by director of the Foundation for Fundamental Rights, Mirza Shahzad Akbar from Islamabad, former senior CIA analyst David McMichael from Washington, and from New York, Masood Haidar from Pakistan's Daily Dawn. Gentlemen, welcome to the program. Let's start off with Mirza Shahzad Akbar. Let's look at some of the statistics about the number of civilians that are killed in the U.S. drone strikes in Pakistan. Now, if I'm correct, it's a ratio of 10 to 1. 10 civilians to every one militant killed. Now, you've done your own research on the trend in civilians' deaths in Pakistan. What have you found?
Well, your statistics are right that for every one militant, they are killing about 10 civilians. But we have to also see, in terms of legality for drone strikes in Pakistan, first of all, I think UN Human Rights Body has made it clear today that these are extrajudicial killing. But for the extent of that militant, the U.S. has really to prove, even if we believe U.S. theory, U.S. has to really prove that that militant who they are killing is an imminent threat to the security of United States. Now, how would they prove that? I mean, they have to show that that person has culpability or capacity to attack United States. Now, when we look at the militants in general who are being killed, so not a couple of dozen, more than a couple of dozen Al-Qaeda senior names or Al-Qaeda officials have been killed, but other than that, they are, even those militants who are killed, they are small-time militants having no value or threat for at that matter to United States. So even that is a big anomaly which has been created by U.S.
David McMichael, Pakistan's president says America's drone strikes are a violation of human rights because innocent men, women, and children are being killed. The UN High Commissioner for Human Rights, Navi Pillay, has just said U.S. drone strikes are illegal, discriminatory, and a violation of human rights as well. In the United States itself, opposition is growing to the U.S. to the use of drone strikes. Still, the U.S. government continues with the deadly attacks. Why does Washington insist to defy calls to stop the attacks that are killing more and more civilians?
I think that one way of explaining this is that embodied in the term American exceptionalism. And that is a strongly held belief in leadership or conviction or rationalization in the leadership elements of the United States, that if the United States does it, it's right. And I think this is exemplified by the fact that within the past week, the Obama administration, the United States government, allowed the publication in the New York Times of a lengthy description of the way in which on Terror Tuesdays, Tuesday mornings at the White House, a group of high officials, including the President of the United States, gets together and uses what they call baseball cards, that is, plastic cards with information about individuals in the Middle East, particularly in Pakistan and increasingly now in Yemen, who are believed to be terrorists, supporters of Al-Qaeda or the Taliban, and that these people are by definition subject to elimination by drone strikes or other deadly means. This is a very peculiar way of looking at international law. And incidentally, with regard to the innocent civilians or civilians who are killed, the justification is that if individuals are in the vicinity, that is, of 15 years of age or over, young men, are in the vicinity of people who are designated as terrorists against whom the United States can strike, they are, and this is a new term, militants, and therefore they cannot be counted as civilians or even collateral damage. They can just be killed. And I think this is a very importantly a reaction to the whole WikiLeaks matter. Is since we now accept that we cannot keep secret the atrocities which are carried out, we not just admit them, but we rationalize them and boast about them. And it's a very difficult thing to have happened, and I'm very pleased that the United Nations Human Rights Commission has taken the stand that it has, although I don't believe given the statements of Secretary of State Clinton and Secretary of Defense Panetta, that we're not going to pay any attention to any ruling or opinion advanced by the United Nations Human Rights Commission. So that's where it is. And as an American citizen with a very strong background at quite high levels in I'm dismayed.
Sorry to interrupt you. Let's go over to New York and bring in Masood Haidar on in the discussion. Mr. Haidar, both the governments of Pakistan and Afghanistan have repeatedly condemned the drone attacks and the night raids, but the condemnation has been limited to verbal comments. Is it really all they can do while their citizens are being killed on a daily basis?
Well, what else can they do? They are pitted against the most powerful country in the world, and they continue to defy international law, justifying it. But if the same thing would have happened in case of Syria or Iran, they would have cried bloody murder. So in case of Pakistan, the Pakistani government and the Afghani government are unable to do anything because they are pitted against the most powerful country in the world. So might is right. That's what it proves. So, I mean, and I asked the United Nations today about the Navi Pillay's comments. They said that Ms. Navi Pillay can herself start investigations, or when time comes, we will also do it. But that is still up in the air. So where do we stand? It's still a stalemate. Civilians are being killed in inordinate number. I mean, everybody agrees that if the militants are killed, that's okay. But the thing is, civilians as a collateral damage are being killed in inordinate number. And that's outrageous. That's why the Pakistani people are so much against it. That's what happens.
Back to Islamabad, Mr. Shahzad Akbar. If the United States is concerned for the lives of innocent civilians, like it claims to be with the situation in Syria, how come it bears little regret when civilians die in Pakistan and Afghanistan as a result of their own actions? Do you view this as a contradictory stance?
It is certainly a contradictory stand, and let's look at President Obama's first airstrike. His first airstrike on 23rd of January 2009 had killed innocent civilians, and it was the wrong house they targeted. And this thing was reported to President Obama straight away, and this has been reported in Bob Woodward's book, and there's another book which is repeating the same fact. But President Obama ignored the fact that he had mistakenly killed 9 people in that drone strike, which everyone now knows was a mistake. And there have been continuous mistakes of such nature, which we have been trying to point out through our legal cases in Pakistani courts and in British courts. And other places we are trying to raise the issue, but at every time CIA does not provide any explanation to the facts which we are bringing to everyone's attention. There are number of children who have been killed. John Brennan said that last year no civilian was killed, but last year 31st of October a civilian volunteer who was working with our organization trying to collect evidence of civilian deaths in drone strike was taken as a target right after 2 days he spent in Islamabad getting training of how to take pictures and upload them on online so the rest of the world can see. And that person, that 16-year-old boy was taken as a target. But CIA pays no attention, and simply they say that all we kill, I mean, they admitted that they have killed a 16-year-old, but they said that he was a militant. And our question was that if he was a militant, he was in Islamabad, 1 mile away from U.S. Embassy for 3 days, interacting with international human rights activists. And if he was a militant, you could have arrested him easily in Islamabad.
Over to Washington now. David McMichael, with 400 or so U.S. bases in various parts of Afghanistan, it's difficult to conjure just how the U.S. is planning to exit. How do you perceive the U.S. exit from Afghanistan?
We have to see the problem.
There will be a, during this election year, there will be a removal of a certain number of United States combat units from Afghanistan. But the vast majority will remain through the indefinite future, at least through 2014, as we now seem to understand this. And they will be laughingly described as being in a training and support situation and not directly engaged in combat and on and on and on. But they will be, and it's another misrepresentation by the United States government. And I think your listeners and viewers should, you know, have to regrettably understand that this is all taking place during a national election year, a presidential election year in the United States, when let us say truth is a little bit hard to come by through any sources within the United States, and it's so I'm afraid that the people of Pakistan, the people of Afghanistan are going to have to continue, you know, to suffer in these sorts of attacks. We can argue that, as has been done, of course, that this will preserve them from their own harsh elements, warlords, Taliban, religious fanatics, and so forth. But that simply, in the understanding of international law, at least, and of course, a long tradition of American conduct of or supposed tradition and conduct of American foreign policy, is that it's up to each country to settle its own affairs.
Right.
And I will say very quickly for you that I spent the better than 4 years, or just about 4 years, as a counterterrorism advisor in Southeast Asia during the Vietnam War, and the same thing went on. And in that case, anybody in Vietnam that was dead was a Viet Cong, a.k.a. militant. So few things change.
Masood Haider, many charge both governments in Pakistan and Afghanistan of somewhat being complacent about the drone strikes and night raids. In case of Pakistan, some even say that it provides the United States with the necessary intelligence. So are we seeing a situation where the Afghan and Pakistani governments are publicly saying one thing but privately doing another? What is your take on that?
No, that's quite a possibility, and that both the government, the Afghan government and Pakistan government, do not trust each other under any circumstances. Afghans are so wary of Pakistan's intelligence agencies that one cannot begin to say where it is. The only thing is that the United States says that we have asked Pakistan government or the Pakistan army to take care of these militants, and they're not acting. Since they're not acting, we are acting. And in that, what happens is the collateral damage that happens is far more, exceeds the limits, you know. And that is really what the bottom line is. The United States keeps on killing civilians in order to get to the militants. But its intelligence is not honed enough to make sure that when a militant is being killed, he is not surrounded by 100 civilians around him. That is what has not been determined. So the United States on one hand blames Pakistan and Afghanistan for festering these militants, but whom it also forgets were there originally to aid the Americans against the Russians. Now they've turned, chicken have come home to roost, now they've turned them against the Americans. Now the thing is, Americans should somehow realize that they have to get their operations better. To kill militants is okay, because you have a blanket permit, whether you like it or not, the United States will do it. So, bottom line is that Pakistan government and the Afghan government are not cooperating with each other to get at these militants, because Afghan, whenever you tell Afghanistan, they say, oh, they're in Pakistan. Pakistan government says, no, they're in the border between Afghanistan and Pakistan. So there's a contradiction which keeps on going on. And that also doesn't help the situation. Yeah.
Mr. Akbar in Islamabad, I'd like to relay Mr. Haider's initial comment back to you. He said that Pakistan and Afghanistan have been rendered inactive against the world's greatest power, meaning the United States. What do you think? Do you think that they just can't, they're just going to have to sit aside and do nothing? Can't they maybe advocate for the United Nations to be more involved in the proceedings?
Well, first of all, there's no doubt about the fact that if there are any criminal elements, any terrorist elements in Pakistan or Afghanistan, the respective governments have to take action against them. But there's another point here which we really need to address, and that is presence of a foreign force in a country which provide legitimacy to all those people who were considered to be terrorists. Now, take example of Taliban fighting against American in Afghanistan? I mean, are they not fighting against foreign invasion? I mean, this is a question which people don't like to address, but now I think is the time when we need to address this, because when you have a foreign force in any land, for whatever reason, the local forces fighting against that are actually fighting against invaders. Now, this provides them greater legitimacy. And when you have a history of 10 years of a foreign invader in a country, which is filled with human rights violation, indiscriminate killing, extrajudicial killing, not just in Afghanistan, but across the border as well, then we lose that sense that if any force is on the right side, and then it becomes a war. Now, for Pakistani and Afghan forces to act against any elements which are considered a threat to the world peace, then both governments can act, I think, more independently when we do not have any foreign force present in the region. So I think the key is American withdrawal from the region, and then Pakistani forces can independently act against the elements which are involved in any sort of terrorism or criminal activities.
Mr. McMichael, the U.S. says that attacks are aimed at destroying. Would you have anything to add to that? All right,
I'm sorry,
McMichael,
would you repeat?
I'd like to add something about.
Well, sure, go ahead.
Go ahead. About the. Okay. I just want to say something about your point that you're making. Can United Nations do anything about it? United Nations, all it can do is condemn it or say that it is a violation of international law. It has no other power other than that at all to do anything. United States or other powers, they'll keep on doing what they have to do, because any international agency like United Nations cannot have a condemnation or something which will be mandating that this is international law and action can be deemed. That is not done. It has never been done so far, but can be eventually done. I mean, like in case of Syria, in case of Iran, they will come out with the Security Council resolution. In this Pakistan's case, it's not even, Security Council is not even cognizant of what is happening inside.
I do have one last question about the nature of the strikes. I'd like to give that question to Mr. McMichael in Washington. The U.S. says the attacks are aimed at destroying terrorists and extremists. But besides hatred against the U.S., these attacks are generating more extremist sentiments. They become a source for intensifying the militant and Taliban ideology in those very areas where they have killed women and innocent children. Are the U.S. attacks defeating the very purpose for which they are made?
I tend to believe they are, and I can certainly cite the former chief of CIA counterterrorism, Robert Grenier, who earlier this week said that drone war is creating more terrorists and anti-U.S. hatred in Yemen, and which is, of course, where we expanded this. And the former CIA general counsel, John Rizzo, has called the drone killings murder. And consequently, he is under investigation by the administration for leaking classified material. But I think a very strong argument can be made that this sort of thing in the history of Afghanistan, certainly the graveyard of invaders, so-called, illustrates this, that conventional outside forces facing resistance from the largely Pashtun population of Afghanistan pay a very, very high price and rarely achieve their announced objectives. So I think that history is again repeating itself in that regard. But who learns from history?
Who learns from history, indeed. Of course, plenty more to discuss, but unfortunately, we are out of time. Allow me to thank my panel of experts for contributing to the program. A director of the Foundation for Fundamental Rights, Mr. Mirza Shahzad-Akbar from Islamabad, former senior CIA analyst David McMichael from Washington, and from New York, Masood Haidar from Pakistan's Daily Dawn. I'm going to be signing off from our headquarters here in Tehran. Now join us again, same time, same place, for another edition of Press TV's news analysis tomorrow night. Goodbye for now.